Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Recovery from Relapse meeting. Today is Tuesday, the 26th of March. And this morning, I'm absolutely delighted that Roz was able to get up and come and speak for us. It's very early for her in Los Angeles. Roz G, she came to OA in January 2002. She's from Northridge in California, and she now lives in Palmdale, which is in the county of Los Angeles. So, Roz, I am going to hand it over to you now to share your experience, strength, and hope with us. Thank you, Roz. Take it away.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Roz G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I do live in Palmdale, California. It is the county of Los Angeles. And I say Los Angeles because it's more well known than Palmdale. Palmdale is a small suburb north of the city. I did live in the city, you know, in my younger days. I moved up here. It was a big Al-Anon alcoholic marriage that brought me up here, but I'm actually very happy here. I love living in the small suburbs. It's kind of a country, smaller town, and it only takes me an hour to get to Los Angeles. So I really love it up here. So anyway, I thought that this meeting was going to be 9 a.m. for me because, you know, it's a 3-hour time difference. And I'm like, oh, I have time to, I'm on the phone with a sponsee. I'll go take my dogs for a walk. I'll make some breakfast. And I get this, and I just happen to look at my text message and it's like, oh, it's time, no time change, blah, 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 blah. It's 6 a.m. I'm like, 6 a.m. So I'm still in my pajamas. I just threw on a Disney jacket. And I put a little lipstick on. I fluffed up my hair, but basically I'm still in my pajamas. I don't think you guys care. So I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2002, in January of 2002. Oh, let me show you some pictures. If Rita said she would be glad to show you pictures, I have tons of pictures, but I just, you know, just wanted to kind of summarize what my life looked like. So, okay, in the upper right-hand corner, this is me at about my heaviest. I was standing in between my sisters, who I was very jealous of. I don't know if I have a picture of that right now, but my sisters were thin and beautiful, and I was fat. Okay, so that in the red shirt, that was me at probably my heaviest. In the left upper hand corner, at least from my point of view, I don't know if it's switched for you, but in the left upper hand corner, this is a picture of me when I was on welfare. I don't know if you guys know anything about welfare, but I was becoming a student aide in a county probation facility, and we had to have our pictures taken. And I had just gotten some kind of a job, but I had been living on welfare for 5 years. Welfare is the county system here in the U.S. I don't know if you guys have a welfare system for poor people in your countries. But anyway, no offense to people who have double chins, but my ex-husband, my former dead husband, used to say, tapao, tapao, and he'd do this to me. And that means double chin in Spanish. And then that's me a few years later. That's basically what I look like. That picture was taken a few years ago, but the two bottom pictures are of me. I'm 60 years old and I am on a dance team now. I dance salsa and bachata, and that was just taken a few weeks ago. So the two bottom pictures are representative of what I look like today. And I'll talk more about my dancing later. But the dance team, they're like, I'm 60, they're in their 30s and younger. And I have the stamina and the health and everything else to keep up with them with dancing. So you can take the pictures down and I'll kind of backtrack to me. So like I said, I came to OA in January of 2002. And January, why January? Because January is the month that you are going to do a New Year's resolution. And I made a cup of tea to help me help my mouth stay wet, my throat stay wet while I talk this morning. And that's the month that you say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I used to do that every January. I'd make a resolution every January. And I'd say, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And I had no plan. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But I said I was going to do it. And I'd ask God to take the calories away from me. And I'd ask God to bless my meal. And God, would you please take these calories away from me? And meanwhile, while I'm eating Sara Lee cake. I used to be a devout Baptist and I go to church three times a week. And after the Sunday night service, I would have, you know, a double layer of Sara Lee cake that was partially frozen. I would eat when my children were small, I would make them a pack of like Farmer John's six sausage in a pack. I'd fry those up and they were too small to really finish it all. And I would, you know, walk around the table and finish whatever they didn't eat. So the Farmer John's package of sausage was gone by the morning time. I used to eat boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese. I used to sit in front of the television set and watch soap operas. I think maybe there's one or two soap operas left in the US, but that was a big morning time thing. Man, from gosh, I think 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock PM, it was soap operas. And I was a stay-at-home mom for a while. So I'd sit and watch soap operas and eat Kraft macaroni and cheese or cream of wheat cereal with dinosaur, you know, cinnamon dinosaurs. Those are delicious graham crackers, by the way. I don't eat them anymore, but I used to dip the cream of wheat into those. That would be my spoon. And what else did I do? Those are the two. We had this dough called Poppin' Fresh. It's by Pillsbury and it's just chocolate chip cookie dough. I would cut that up and make cookies, but I liked the cookies so that they were very, very soft. They had to be really soft. I'd eat almost that whole pack and I would pass out. I didn't know it was passing out then. I didn't know. I just thought, oh, I need a nap, but I would pass out from eating that. And then I would wake up with a hangover and I felt like absolute crap. And I was gaining weight, a lot of weight. A young mother, a young stay-at-home mother in an alcoholic marriage. And my husband would work down below, down the hill. He worked in the Los Angeles City area. And I was alone with the kids. And I had, you know, I had the Baptist church and all the women there ate like I did. We'd serve in the nursery and they'd have these Goldfish crackers for the kids. So we'd sing a song to the kids and we'd give them their snack. We'd pray over our snack and we'd pass out the Goldfish crackers or the Cheez-Its. And of course I had to have some too. That church was a place for me to practice my disease because we'd wear these long frumpy dresses that had no shape whatsoever. And I felt like I was a Stepford wife at that church. I got to eat all the lasagnas, the casseroles. I went to a ladies' retreat once where we'd have ladies' retreats once a year, and the pastor's wife made sure that we ate really well. And I remember this: we had a pasta dish one night, and this lady next to me didn't finish her pasta dish, and the waiter came and took it away and put it on the thing to take it away, and I just looked at that pasta dish like, bring it back, I'll finish it. And then there was no dessert served one night. I was angry that there was no dessert served. And some of the other ladies who probably had the same problem I did were like, where's the dessert? There's no dessert. Those were my food habits and my food behaviors. So after Christmas of 2001, my thin sister said to me, well, it looks like you could use to lose a few pounds. And on a Christmas day, to hear your sister say that after opening presents, where my sister's got colorful sweaters and I got a black sweater. And instead of being grateful that my mom got me a present, I was angry because I got a black sweater and they got colorful sweaters. And I know black is slimming. So I'm thinking, oh, my mom got me a black sweater because it's slimming. I just had so much jealousy and anger and rancor and defensiveness because I was angry, jealous, fat, and just lost. So that day, the next day, I think I finished off whatever chocolate chip cookies were there. chocolate chip cookies and macaroni and cheese were my two major, major foods that I just couldn't get enough of, couldn't stop eating. And the morning of, I don't remember driving home that night. I was in a food blackout. And then the morning of, I went to the Whole Wheatery, and that's our little mama and papa health food store. And I got flax oil and wheat germ, and I made my little concoction, which is a laxative abuse. And I drank it, and I would do coffee enemas. And I mean, it's sick. Okay. I didn't get very, very, very heavy. You saw that picture. That's about as heavy as I got because I have exercise bulimia. I didn't have guts to put my finger down my throat and throw up, but I did exercise. I would leave my kids in the apartment and go jog every morning. I developed plantar fasciitis for not wearing the proper shoe wear because I didn't have the money to buy proper shoe wear. So I would go and jog and I hurt my feet. And then I got involved in all kinds of, you know, in like boot camp type of exercise. And I just worked the hell out of my shoulder. I had shoulder surgery on this shoulder, surgery on my foot, because I was over-exercising and not doing it properly. So that's the drunkalog. I'll stop there. So that morning where I, after the cookie, after the Christmas incident, I remember years ago, like in 1991, I've been in Al-Anon since, I've been Al-Anon 40 years. A friend of mine, my best friend from life, she's an alcoholic, she's an AA. And I said, is there something for alcoholics, for food, people with food? And she said, I think it's Overeaters Anonymous. So in about 1991, I went to an OA meeting and there was a bunch of thin women sitting in a circle. It was in the San Fernando area and San Fernando Valley, Sherman Way. If any of you are from San Fernando on this meeting, you know what I'm talking about, the Darby office. And I just looked at those women and I thought, I'm not like them. I don't know what this is. Where's the diet? And I left. So I had remembered, oh, there's this program called Overeaters Anonymous. And I had this dilapidated computer that a neighbor upstairs in my apartment gave me because we had no money to buy one. And my husband was very neglectful. I had my part too, but he never got us anything really. I wore holy underwear and messed up the same shirt over and over and over again. I have another poverty story, but that's another program. I lost my train of thought. I found OA. It was on this old, when we had modems and it was so slow and it was like, Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. And I was like, welcome home, welcome home. And I was able to click and find a meeting. There was a meeting in my town on Avenue J at the Lutheran Church. Any of you from Antelope Valley, you know where that is. And I walked in that meeting and there were three women sitting there and they smiled and said, welcome. And I told them, I did, my mother got me black sweater. They got my sisters. I feel terrible. And they shook their heads and they just smiled at me. They didn't try to, you know, my sisters and my mother would all, and my auntie, they would always tell me, you shouldn't feel that way. It's easy to lose weight. You can do it. And I always felt so worthless. Like I couldn't meet up to the standards of my perfectionist sister, of my other sister who was working on her doctorate degree and stuff. And I had no, I was a stay-at-home mom. I was on welfare. I was going to get a divorce. It was awful. But those actually were the most blessed times of my life, because when you go down, you can't go anywhere but up. So I started going to OA meetings and I went to community college. And my teacher was so kind. I went to a class for women and men, but a lot of women who hadn't been to college for a long time. It was like reorienting yourself back into college. And so this welfare program put me in college and bought my books and bought my gas. And I felt like of this ton of bricks off my back when I went in those offices, because I was using welfare for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. You know, a lot of people abuse it, but I didn't. So I took this personality test and it had come to be that I could be a teacher or a writer. And I thought, well, I'll try teaching. And because I have a daughter who has a learning disability, I really got interested in special education. And so I started going for the track of special education. So to make this long, you know, story short, it would be very long for me to tell you what all I've done. But I can just tell you that I got some degrees. I got 2 degrees in child development. And then I got my bachelor's degree in psychology. I got a master's degree in special education. I got a doctorate degree in educational leadership. So now I am Dr. Godin. But, you know, you don't say that in meetings, but I can say it in a qualification. And just to say that, you know, I came from an impoverished welfare line, fat life to a woman who's, I paid the bank, but I own this home. It's a 5-bedroom place. I've got a beautiful backyard with a garden. I've taken up gardening. But just to get through, let me get to the steps. So I got different sponsors over the years. And I was in regular OA meetings and I really wasn't getting any recovery. I was just going to these meetings and still eating almost the same way. No flour, no sugar. Okay, great. But what about everything else? I didn't really learn about a food plan until I came into the Vision for You meeting, Big Book meeting. And this woman had come to this meeting in Santa Clarita who had this book in her hand. She had this book in her hand and she was thin and she was serene and she was beautiful. And her talk was all about this book. And I want that. So I looked up online for this. It was called Big Book. So it was a primary solutions of the Big Book. And they had the service ethic of the sponsor actually calls you. You don't call the sponsor, they call you and they say, I want to sponsor you. And this lady named Stacy sponsored me. Stacy was in Vision for You for a while. I don't think she goes to Vision for You meetings anymore. But she was a lot of service in those meetings. And she sponsored me through the steps. And then I got another sponsor. But the most effective sponsor I got was because I was going through EMDR therapy. And I was walking from the therapy office in front of a Blaze Pizza off. Blaze Pizzas where you just make these, you know, you have them. It's like a Subway place, like Subway sandwiches, but with pizza. And they had cauliflower crust pizza. And I thought, oh, there's no flour. Bullshit. But After EMDR therapy is quite, you bring up a lot of trauma. And I was thinking about my former marriage and how awful that was, thinking about my being single and not having a relationship for a very long time, which I still do not. And my sister and my jealousy, I had to bring all that up in the EMDR and just walking in front of the Blaze Pizza. I thought, I'm going to have a slice of cauliflower crust pizza. And, you know, I ended up eating the whole pizza on my way home from the therapy, you know, while I'm driving, I'm eating a whole pizza. And there was another time where I had a relapse where my daughter was having a surgery for her gallbladder. And there were these Clif Bars in the cafeteria downstairs in the hospital. And I used to eat Clif Bars, but you know, they are full of sugar. They mask and tell you, oh, it's at the healthy bar. It's nothing but a candy bar with words on a package that say it's a health food bar. Most of those health food bars are just the same thing. They just tell you that it's a healthy protein bar. Look at the back. Look at the ingredients on the back of those protein bars. It's the same thing as a candy bar. Same thing. So I ate that and I kept wanting more and more. And, you know, I got into relapse. And so I don't, because of my control and my over-exercising, I don't take relapses too far, but I took them. And I got on the phone with a friend and with this lady that I really admired. She used to like moderate all the Herb K meetings, Janice. And I still, Janice and I are not sponsor and sponsee, but she was so effective in my spot. And she sponsored me. She gave me a food plan. I told her my food every day. And we went through the steps. She took no crap from me. And there were some mornings when I didn't wake up because she's on the East Coast. I'm on the West, just like this. And I had to wake up very early to talk to her. 4 or 5 a.m. I'd be on the vision meeting at four, and then 5 a.m. with her. And just the way she talked with her accent, she no bullshit, you know? And she'd say, "Hey, I'm getting up. Are you going to get up? I'm holding the mirror before you." And she taught me to keep my commitments. My Al-Anon sponsor taught me a lot about that, but I started slipping about keeping my commitments and keeping my word. So she took me through the steps again, and I had a food plan with her, and I got abstinent. And I have been abstinent ever since. I've had to change my food plan here and there because of various reasons. But I have a 3-meal-a-day food plan. I weigh and measure my meals for the most part. You know, if you go to Gray Sheeters, they take their scales. I like Gray Sheet. They're very good meetings. You know, I listen to them occasionally. But I do not take a scale to the restaurant. I just don't. But I have a scale in my kitchen. I have measuring cups. I have a scale in my classroom. I'm a teacher, and I have measuring cups there and teaspoons and stuff. And so, you know, it's really a freedom to look to see what it weighs and what a half cup of rice looks like. That was an insult to me because I used to pile on the rice, you know, but a half a cup of rice or a half a cup of a carb is a serving size for me. 4 ounces of protein is a serving size for me, except for if it's beans, it's 6 ounces. But, you know, I have a food plan, and if I want a snack, I can have a snack. But many times I'm really not hungry. And in OA, there was this saying, you know, 3 meals a day and life in between, not nothing in between, but life. So I got a life. It's taken me a while to get a life because I was a single mom with 3 kids for a long time. And I raised them. I took it seriously. And I really got involved in their lives. I went to karate with my son, and I went to his choir performances, and whatever my daughters were doing, I would watch, you know, what they were doing. I would be there for them. It got very lonely. But the karate was good for me. I got a couple of black belts. I'm an overdoer and overachiever, by the way. But I still, no matter how abstinent and how many degrees I have and what I own, it doesn't matter. What matters is my relationship with God. That's what fulfills me. But still, I got lonely, and I got with this coach, a coach. And I asked him to help me to learn how to date again. So I'm joining the SLAA program. I have a sponsor. We're going to start going through the steps. Sorry to mention these other programs, but this is me. This is me. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but just tell you. So I do have a new sponsor in SLAA because I'm going to go on a sober dating plan. But that's anyway, just to say that this coach said, well, why don't you go dancing and get involved in dancing? And you can at least be with people. So I got a master gardener. Gardening is another thing, the dancing. And I started to touch guys. I hadn't touched guys in years. I mean, dancing and touching. And I said to him, I'm touching people. He said, go with it. Keep going with it. So I really loved the dancing. And I developed a crush on this younger guy, but I don't have that anymore. But it, you know, at least it opened a door for me to have feelings for someone again, to enjoy touching someone. And I joined 2 dance teams, salsa and bachata, and I'm friends with him, and he's really cute and everything, but I just don't want to be with a guy that's 20 some years younger than me. I want an appropriate age group, because I'm going, you know, in about 7 years, I'm going to retire, and I want to travel with someone, and I want to be available to speak, to travel, to go. I'm beyond the child raising years. I would love to have grandchildren. But anyway, my dad, when I was getting my doctorate degree, my dad, who's a gardener and other among other things, said, you have room right here in the garden to plant stuff. And I loved gardening because I was, you know, I was gardening in the shade. He said, well, it's not going to grow there. It's not getting enough sun. So just to say that I have a big garden back there. I've got lots of beautiful vegetables. I eat them. They're very healthy for me. I got a Master Gardener certificate. So I have friends in the gardening community, and I go and volunteer at farmers. What?
Roz, you have 5 minutes.
Perfect. Perfect. So I go to farmers markets. I'm going to be teaching classes about composting and starting your garden. I do that. I see sunflowers from somebody. So those are beautiful. Diane F, thank you for that. So I do that. And then I'm on these dance teams. I'm going to face my anorexia with dating and get on a sober dating plan with a sponsor in SLAA. I chair the Los Angeles Intergroup. That's another long story. It's a lot of work. It hasn't been easy. The first year was very hard. We didn't have a full board, and that was hard. We wanted to see a change in rotation of leadership, and we did. But it was not easy. It was not easy. Being a leader has an ego thing to it, but when you get down to it, people will criticize you or people will look for what you're doing wrong. And it's not easy. But when I came into that meeting on Avenue J with three other people, I didn't know that 20 years later, I was going to be the chair of the Los Angeles Intergroup. I had no idea, none. All I knew is that I was fat and jealous and couldn't stop eating. So today, like I said, I have my food plan. I have sponsees. I cannot go without sponsoring. You know, there may be a little lull of time where, you know, I'm not like actively taking someone through the steps, but that's not good for me. It may feel good, but let's get some rest this morning, or I can spend some time with God. But you know, the food thoughts will come in if I'm not in that big book and going back to the doctor's opinion and remembering that I have an allergy of the body with obsession of the mind. So I can't do it. You know, maybe a week, but that's enough. So I sponsor people. I sponsor people who have relapsed, or I sponsor people who are brand new. It doesn't matter to me. Just, you know, if somebody's willing to do the work. Once in a while, I'll find somebody where one of my sponsees might be a better fit for them. So I'll send them to a sponsee. But I have a sponsor, and I take her direction, and then I give direction to sponsees. I go to meetings just about every day. I'm not very good with Zoom. I want to multitask. It's probably another addiction of mine, but I'm off camera quite a bit. And you know, I know there are some meetings where they think it's rude, and it's probably true. So I have a meeting on Sunday morning that I'm on camera every Sunday morning. And I try to do the Scottsdale meetings on camera twice a week. And then I listen to a lot of meetings. But it's because I want to be in my garden, or I want to walk the dogs. And I've tried walking with I have a yellow lab named Daisy, who's 2 years old, and she's crazy. And I dropped the phone a couple times. So I just stay, you know, off camera. But basically, I have a very good life. I would like to retire in about 7 years. I would like to be in a relationship, but I want to make sure that I'm a healthy woman, and that I'm not that 1 minute or whatever it is. I want to make sure that I'm in a good place so that I attract a healthy man, and that I'm I'm an attraction versus somebody that's needy. So I'm working on that. I'm a work in progress. So I'm at a healthy weight. I wear a size 8, about an 8 or a 10. I've gotten smaller, but you know, I work out a lot. I have muscle. I'm fine. I had a hysterectomy, so I have a little flab here that's probably never going to go away.
1 minute
surgery. Yeah, emergency. Not hysterectomy, but when your babies are born, it's emergency C-section. So I have a little flab there. But, you know, body dysmorphia is another issue. But anyway, so that looks like I only have a few seconds left. So I hope that this share was helpful to somebody. I didn't talk about relapse a lot, but I did try to throw it in there. And I hope that this was helpful to someone at this time of the morning. So thank you, Rita, for asking me to share. Thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful.
Oh, Roz, thank you so much. And everybody, if you just want to give Roz jazz hands, I'm just going to read out a little bit of the big book as well for to back up her talk. It was page 417. AA and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and we each have a right to be here. When I complain about me or you, me or about you, I am complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God. For years, I was sure the worst thing that could have happened to a nice guy like me would be that I would turn out to be an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater. Today, I find it's the best thing that has ever happened to me. This proves I don't know what's good for me. And if I don't know what's good for me, then I don't know what's good for or bad for you or for anyone. So I'm better off if I don't give advice, don't figure I know what's best, and just accept life on life's terms as it is today, especially my own life as it actually is. Before AA, I judged myself by my intentions, while the world was judging me by my actions.